The Lord be with you. You're listening to a podcast from the teaching ministry of Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. For more multimedia content or to get more information, go to www.epiclesis.org. Now, here's Pastor Chris.
I'm thinking about what a remarkable place the kingdom of God is. The kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of God is here. And yet it doesn't always look like that. Sheila and I went yesterday to Sodom and Gomorrah, known to some of you as San Francisco, Oakland. And I was struck once again, I'm mostly kidding. I was struck once again by the dichotomy of scenes and things. On the one hand, soaring, beautiful, multi-bajillion dollar buildings. And I was thinking about how San Francisco is home to, goodness, the world's foremost social media. You've got Facebook and Yelp and all that stuff over there, right? And yet, people seem so disconnected. Isn't that ironic? And it's a city of incredible beauty by the sea. The waves are gorgeous. The wildlife is amazing. And yet, I was struck again by the depravity of humankind. The transient population, homeless situation in San Francisco is completely out of control. It's completely out of control. It breaks your heart. Is it possible for you to have deep compassion and revulsion at the same time? Yeah. It's heartbreaking. It makes you angry, and you don't know what to do. We saw a lady shooting up on the sidewalk 10:30 in the morning. There is now an app. Did you know this? I'm not making this up. To show you, based upon information daily from the city, where the highest concentrations of human waste is, so you can avoid those areas. Did you know this? Our trip happened to take us into the Tenderloin, which is another place of great contrast. You've got City Hall and the Opera House and all of these things there, and then yet hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people are on the side. I'm talking hundreds of people. And it didn't happen this time, but there have been times when we go to San Francisco and you have to step over people or urine or human waste or needles. I noticed that at every door there was a guard. And I went into the mall. What's the big mall there on Market near the square? Is that the big Westfield Mall? And so it's incredibly amazing. And you've got storefronts of Rolex watches and all of this finery, right? I mean, I got this sweater the other day on clearance at Macy's for $14, and I'm thinking I'm doing great. But that wouldn't go very far in San Francisco. You've got all this incredible wealth, and yet there's a guard at every door to keep out the unwanted. I guess you never know who's going to show up at your door. The kingdom of God is in some ways similar. All these clashing images and concerns. I saw lots of good, and I saw lots of evil. We saw lots that was beautiful. We saw a lot that was deplorable. We saw lots of vibrancy and health. We saw lots of sickness. Not much has changed in the world since the time of Jesus. Turn to Mark 1. Last week, we saw Jesus in the synagogue. And you will recall that Mark uses this tool where he says, and suddenly, and then, to keep the energy moving along, to keep the story clipping along at a high rate of speed. And so he is tempted in the desert, and then he is choosing his disciples, and then he's at the synagogue, and he drives out an unclean spirit. And then, you'll notice, long about verse 29, it says, as soon as they left the synagogue, so what day is it? Sabbath. As soon as they go to the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. It says in verse 30, Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up, and the fever left her, and she began to wait on them. Still on the Sabbath, there's our remarkable Jesus teaching at the synagogue, driving out an unclean spirit, and immediately goes to the house of Simon and Andrew. And Simon's mother-in-law, which means he was married, was in bed with a fever. And they tell Jesus about this thing. And immediately he goes and he heals her and she gets up and she begins to go about her duties. What a clash of worlds. How could this happen in the kingdom of God when the kingdom of God is literally at hand? sickness, death, disease, human waste, needles, poverty, sickness. Jesus shows up. The fever left her and she began to wait on them. Verse 32, that evening after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. That evening after sunset. Why is that significant? Sabbath is over. Now you can get out and do stuff. You can bear a burden. You can walk a certain distance, right? I think it is remarkable that when Jesus is near, new creation is happening on the Sabbath. And then the sun goes down. And that evening after sunset, verse 32, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. Look at verse 33. It knocks me over. The whole town gathered at the door. And Jesus healed many who had various diseases. You never know who's going to show up at your door. In San Francisco, they've got guards at every door to keep out the undesirables. And I'm not making fun. I don't know what I would do. Let's say you're a business owner and your front sidewalk is covered with garbage and human waste. What are you going to do? You're in a tough situation. But in the kingdom of God, there is a clash of images and there is a clash of cultures and there is a clash of values. And now you never know who's going to show up at the door. And verse 33 says, the whole town gathered at the door and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. A couple of interesting things about this. I noticed that at least in some of the translations, when Jesus goes to heal Simon's mother-in-law, it says that he rebuked the fever. Does your translation say that? Look carefully. Verse 29, 30, right in there. 31. And a little bit later, you learn that he rebukes the demons, depending upon your translation. Isn't that interesting? Wherever Jesus is, he has a way of attracting and drawing out and unmasking the forces that oppose him. That's worth saying again. There's something about Jesus that no matter where he goes, he has a way of attracting and drawing out and unmasking the forces that oppose him. One scholar says it shouldn't surprise us that when Jesus is going through the town, all sorts of stuff shows up. That Jesus has a way of doing that. I think it's also interesting to notice that he didn't heal every single last one of them. Did you notice? My translation says, healed many, drove out many demons, healed many who had various diseases. But he wouldn't let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Interesting sidelight. So I was thinking yesterday and then through the night about this business of healing and driving out demons. This is what Jesus does. Jesus is in the business of healing and driving out demons. Not apparently everyone was healed. Not apparently every demon was driven out. And as I was driving through the city streets yesterday in San Francisco and seeing a sea of people who are drug addicted and mentally ill and addicted to alcohol and who knows what else, I thought, oh my goodness, we really need Jesus. Boy, we could really, really use you, Jesus. And you might respond to this passage and say, well, this is really great, but they had Jesus. Well, you know what, brothers and sisters? We do too. And he is here. And the same Lord Jesus is standing here among us right now in his glorious resurrection power, as was in this particular vignette in the remarkable Gospel of Mark. We have Jesus too. Why aren't we attracting and drawing out and unmasking the forces that oppose the Lord? Are we ignoring them? Are you like me and would rather just kind of go on by the person who's strung out on the sidewalk because you don't really know what to do? You never know who's going to show up at your door. My mind went back to that time in Genesis when Lot was living in the city of Sodom. You may recall that some angels of the Lord came to Lot to say, you better get out of the city because it's going to be destroyed. And remember, the whole town came to the door. Do you remember? And do you remember why they came to the door? They saw these two fresh faces and they said, send them out so we can have our way with them. Adults, you know what I'm talking about. And the whole city came to the door. In that particular case, the whole city was destroyed. You never know in the kingdom of God who's going to come to your door. So here's what I'm thinking today. I'm thinking that there's some people here today who need some healing. I saw you raise your hands a few minutes ago. I'm thinking that today we probably have some people here today who feel oppressed by the enemy. And I also believe with all my heart that the Lord impressed upon me that today He wants to do some healing and deliverance. Is that okay with you? Or would you rather pass by? You never know who's going to show up at your door. Because the Lord Jesus is here and standing among us in His risen power. He is present. He is real. And there is healing to be found in Him and wholeness. Today is our Sabbath, and I believe that the Lord Jesus wants to heal. New creation on the Sabbath. So here's what I'd like to do. I'd like for us to move straight on to the Lord's table. And I would like, while we're doing that, for our prayer teams to go ahead and to get into place and to be praying right now for God's healing presence to be made manifest, and for those who the Lord wants to heal, to impress upon them to do so. So prayer teams, would you just go ahead and go? Even all of you, that's fine. Just go ahead and start praying if you would. And we're going to move on to table. And then, beloved, we're going to linger around the table for a little while longer than today. But we will have prayer teams. After you receive communion and you would like to pray with somebody, please do. We will also pray over you here. I'm excited. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give You thanks for the day. We give You thanks, Lord Jesus, that You are standing among us in Your risen power. And You, Lord Jesus, who rebuked a fever, and You, Lord Jesus, who rebuked the evil one, are with us even now. You, Lord Jesus, the same one, the eternal, the anointed one. And I pray that You would be present in our worship today in a very special way, because I believe that You want to do some healing and to bring wholeness and deliverance today. So we will make this space and time available for You to have Your will and Your way. Come, Holy Spirit, and pour out Your presence over this congregation. Not by our own strength or might or words or music or liturgy or by our own will or desire, but by Your Spirit, Lord Jesus, would You do this? As we pray all of these things in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
You've been listening to a podcast from Epiclesis, an ancient future faith community. If you'd like to learn more about ancient future faith or worship with us at Epiclesis, visit us on the web at www.epiclesis.org. The Lord be with you.